Jesus visits two sisters, Martha and Mary. He really cares about them, and the feeling is obviously mutual for both of them. What the passage leaves out is that Jesus almost certainly has his group of closest disciples with him. Providing a meal for that size of a group is no small task. Right now, it's hard to imagine getting together like that, isn't it? As COVID cases spike, we are being cautioned to have Thanksgiving dinner with only our family who live in the same house. In fact, there are places in the country where it is now against the law to do more. But just for this gospel moment, we may consider a close friend and his disciples coming to dinner. Over the summer, some of us have quite cautiously begun to invite people over to our homes again. At first, it was kind of just outside on warm days. But as it gets cooler and darker, maybe inviting them into the house for dinner and fellowship. Sometimes when we have friends or family coming over, I think we get so wrapped up in making sure the house and the food are ready that we lose sight of the sense of joy that we are looking forward to having with our guests at dinner. So many things that we have to do, cleaning and sanitizing the house and fresh towels and place settings, lots of fancy food, wine, and a new bottle of hand sanitizer in every room. We have two dramatically different ways the sisters relate to Jesus at this event. You know them. We have Mary. Luke describes her as having the exact posture of a disciple in Jewish culture. She sits at the feet of Jesus and she listens to him. She wants to learn as much as she can from him, from the master. Martha, on the other hand, takes on the role of preparing the meal. You can certainly empathize with her. There is a lot to do and she isn't getting any help. So, what is Martha's problem? Clearly, it is not that she is preparing a meal for their guests. It is that she has given herself the task of preparing something to impress her guests out of pride. How do we know this? Why can I say this? Well, we can know this because of how many times she refers to herself. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Luke makes it clear that she is attempting to draw attention to herself and the service she is providing. But where is her sister's attention? It's with Jesus. Jesus does not criticize or rebuke Martha for serving, but for trying to draw Mary away from her position as a disciple. That's kind of where pride leads us, not only to the loss of our own focus on Jesus, but even trying to prevent another from discipleship. Now, when Jesus rebukes someone he loves, he repeats their name. This happens often. Martha, Martha. It's an invitation to let go of the extra tasks meant to impress others and just simply be with Jesus, because none of those other things are as necessary as the one thing, to listen to Jesus. Jesus' mission is to invite people, all of us, to the heavenly existence. In heaven, the active life ceases, while the contemplative life reaches its perfection. That's the one thing necessary, to desire the heavenly existence. That's Jesus. Everything else, brothers and sisters, is a distraction. The passage from Paul's letter to the Galatians is a little more complicated, but if we look at it properly, it will point us in the same direction as Jesus does Martha. Do you remember when Paul experienced his dramatic conversion? Jesus made himself known to Paul with the repetition of his name at the time, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Even though Paul was bent on the destruction of the Jesus Messiah cult, Jesus shows his love for Paul by calling him by name, just as he called Martha to a dramatic conversion. Stop focusing on so many details of the law. It's killing you as you try to kill the spirit of that same law. And what does the Spirit say? What did it say to Paul, and what does it say to us? Listen to me. Listen to the one who is sent to show you the meaning of all of those details of the law. Those details won't save you. Circumcision won't save you. Jesus himself will save you. Listen to him. He is the one who came in the fullness of time so that you could turn your gaze from the details of the law to one who is the destination that everything in the law was pointing to. After his conversion, Paul says he went first to Arabia. Lists a bunch of other places too, but in Arabia, it's quite possible that he went to Mount Sinai, to the foot of the mountain where God revealed himself intimately to Moses and Elijah as they learned directly at the feet of God at the foot of the mountain. What are we distracted by that we make excuses for because they are in themselves good, but leading us away from true worship at Jesus' feet? If the work that you have set yourself keeps you from being with Jesus, you're missing the most important thing. The law was good. The fulfillment of the law, Jesus himself, was better. It was the better part. Today, God wants us to know him like he knows us. The psalmist today describes this. It was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It is not our amazing deeds that earn our salvation. It is Jesus Christ who calls us by our name, inviting us. Listen to him.